news.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Another big space rock is about to make a pass by our planet. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes says it's around the size of the Statue of Liberty.
Asteroid 2010 WC9 is expected to pass by our planet at about half the distance to the moon on Tuesday.
USA Radio News.
President Trump took to Twitter today to say that he has a right to pardon himself, but suggested that he won't use that power, adding that the special counsel is, quote, unconstitutional. Today at the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked if the president would, in fact, pardon himself.
Thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and wouldn't have any need for a pardon.
But does he absolutely rule out doing that? I mean, does he rule out ever issuing a pardon for himself?
Once again, thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and therefore wouldn't need one.
Preparations continue in the White House for President Trump's meeting next week in Singapore with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Defense Secretary James Mattis says you never know what's going to happen when you're dealing with North Korea.
Welcome to reality. You know, it's only on TV that it all goes and everything's fitting together. So, yeah, it's going to be bumpy. But nothing late-breaking or recent, no.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Gas prices have decreased by 2.5 cents a gallon for a national average of $2.95. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
Despite the latest slight decrease, you get a different perspective when you compare prices from a year ago. Patrick DeHaan is with Gas Buddy.
Every single day, the difference between this year and last year is about $228 million. That costs the average household anywhere from $200 to $400 more over the course of this year than what they paid last year.
This week, South Carolina has the lowest price at $2.62 a gallon, while California remains the highest at $3.76.
The man who allegedly shot and killed four people in Scottsdale, Arizona, including a high-profile psychiatrist, killed himself as SWAT teams surrounded him at a hotel. According to Rasmussen reports, President Trump's job approval for the month of May was 48%. That's down 1% from April, where it was 49%. Even with those numbers, only 20% of people think that Vice President Mike Pence would make a better president. This is USA Radio News.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Last month at a high school in New Jersey, a mother insisted and complained after her daughter got cut from cheerleading tryouts. So what'd the school do? They said there would not be cuts and everyone would make the team. Well, Bethany Mandels, a conservative commentator, she's also an editor for Ricochet, she says this is not just with kids these days.
This is across the board, and it isn't just with children. I mean, we sort of joke about the participation trophy phenomenon in life, but there's also so many cases where adults are being allowed into the fire department in New York, the Marines, the Army. They're sort of lowering their standards because they're realizing that physically people can't pass the endurance tests. So instead of making them pass the endurance test, they're just eliminating endurance tests.
Mandel also has a crazy example of what's going on in our schools.
And one of the other crazy examples was in New York City, there were teachers who couldn't pass a literacy test. You want your teachers, your kids' teachers, to be able to read, but it was too hard for the teachers to pass. So
how about telling time?
Yes, that was my favorite example, and one that I was contacted by a lot of readers. They can't tell time on an analog
clock. More kids don't know where the big hand is and little hand is. So what are they doing?
And so they're replacing them with digital clocks in schools and in classrooms. And I'm planning on homeschooling my kids, and one of the first things that you teach a first grader and kindergartner is this is the big hand. This is the little hand, and we're teaching them, if this is too hard for you, we're just going to get rid of it.
Crazy stuff, and that audio courtesy of Fox and Friends. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're live in the studio. We are broadcasting with a special guest that is able to join me here in the studio. We're going to try to figure out this live broadcasting. See, we were on a roll. We got a couple of shows. We were able to figure that out, but we all know what my IT skill level is. So we're right back from the beginning again. So we have to do some commercials and the weather, and then I'll be back to introduce my guest. We'll have a great topic today, talk to you a lot about CASA Shaw. We're joined by the executive director, and we'll be talking about how you can get involved in your community.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All right, what is the weather? I don't think anyone can tell you what the weather is, because you look outside, it looks like it's beautiful, and then 3 seconds later, you have to go get another 5 pieces of clothing. It's really a crazy day today. It is beautiful when the sun is out. We have 74 degrees right now, mostly cloudy skies. And tonight, we're going to have a low of 50 degrees. The weather this whole week, I wish I could give you a beach day, but unless you want to bring a hoodie to the beach, this isn't really your great sun week. Tomorrow we have a high of 75, mostly sunny, and then we're going to have some showers. Tuesday night we have some thunderstorms and then a chance of showers. Wednesday our high for the day is 71, completely unacceptable. Wednesday night we're down to 53 degrees. Thursday it's mostly sunny, but there are some clouds in the forecast, so you may be able to enjoy a beautiful day. It's great running weather, I will give you that, but your high is 74 on Thursday, dipping down to the 50s on Thursday night, and then Friday would be the best beach day, and that is with a high of 79. There are some clouds in the forecast on Friday, but I'm happy to say that we do have a lot of sunny skies on Friday. Of course, Friday night we have some showers, and then another weekend with showers and thunderstorms. I was so happy to see the sun today. I wasn't even sure what it was. I was taking pictures of it and asking if people knew what it was. It's so sad. So go to the beach on Friday and just enjoy this cooler, unseasonable weather as we gear up for summer.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we're live in the studio. Special guest here with me. I'd like to introduce my special guest, Tracy, if you can say hi to everyone so they get to know your voice.
Hello.
Great. And that helps me do a little sound check. So I know that you are live. I know you're live in the studio here, but that our sound is working well. We never know what there's a lot of buttons around here. So you never know. And add that to all of my different computers and phones, and who knows if I can get sound or not. But we're on a roll here, Tracy. So thanks so much for joining us. If you can let people know what your position is and where you work for, and we'll launch right into our discussion about the work that you do, the important
sure.
work you do.
So my name is Tracy Heisler. I'm the Executive Director for the Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program, or CASA, of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties. Our program provides volunteer advocates in court for children who have been abused or neglected and are living in the foster care system.
And you rely a lot on the community to be able to support the children, because unfortunately there's not designated funding and ample funding that can help to support and protect the children.
That is true. And we are fortunate to receive some funding through the state of New Jersey, through the legislature. But for every dollar that we receive from the state, we raise three more. So it's always a challenge keeping the dollars flowing in to make sure that we can provide quality advocacy services.
And, of course, this month, at the end of this month, we will be going into July 1st, which is the budget that has to be passed from the state. And so if your funding is legislative driven, we know it's not adequate. And then we also know that you have to worry about that being a line item every year.
Every year.
Which is unfortunate, because it takes a lot of time to help ensure that there's some continued, probably core funding that funds not a lot of things, but probably a small administrative piece for the program.
The legislative funding that we receive constitutes about 15 to 20% of our overall budget. Maybe a little more. And we use that funding for things like rent, electric bills, the telephone, internet, the core expenses that go along with running an office. They will also pay for some staff salaries as well. So we have federal funding that covers the majority of our case supervisory staff, but for me, my funding is almost all fundraised, and then the balance of the legislative funding we utilize for our data manager, who takes care of our database, and our support staff.
And just to break that down for people in the nonprofit world, when you're looking at those expenses, those are typically considered operational expenses, and they're part of the direct service contract, because it's what is actually going into the delivery of service, the protection of the children, the different positions that require the functionality of the organization.
Absolutely.
And your general administrative costs, which are different than your operating costs, are very low.
They are. They run anywhere from 6 to 9% annually.
And I really wanted to lift that up a little bit here at Houghton Hunterdon, because typically 15% is what is considered good practice for nonprofits. You're much lower than that, but many of the national offices have numbers that are much higher than that, and people are still funneling donations to them. So we always try to educate our listeners or our viewers, if we get the camera system working at our next break here. See, for broadcasting, we like to educate our listeners and our viewers, our audience, about that, because we always want our donors to be educated and smart about where they put their money, because we know that there is more value in some organizations than others. And so we like people to match their giving and their donations, their time, their talent, their treasure, to an organization that really resonates with them, because we know that maybe that check or credit card, or they have all different kinds of money now, don't they, Tracy? You could take on donations. The online giving platform, that may channel into a volunteer. And a volunteer is really the heart of your organization, isn't it?
They are the backbone. We cannot function without them. And in addition to the comments that you just had about giving to charity, One of the things that I think is really important as a donor is that you're making an impact in your local community. And all of the children that we serve, they're kids from Somerset County, Hunterdon County, and Warren County. They may not be placed here. They could be anywhere. But they are our children. They go to school with our kids. They live in our communities. They play on our ball teams. They are our kids.
That's a great, great point, Tracy. And we definitely want to make sure that we strengthen our communities or a community that we care about, maybe no longer live in close proximity. So you can be a donor, you can volunteer. There's so many ways to work and support the children of our community that are vulnerable and in need of assistance. We're going to do a commercial break. We'll be back to talk a little more in depth about this great organization. Stay with us.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back in the studio, multitasking over here, which is usually a good thing. I don't know about today because I haven't made any progress on any of the 10 open things over here, but that's okay because we can put that all aside as we focus and concentrate on learning a little bit more about the children that are in need, what Casa Shaw does, and to talk to Tracy a little bit about the work and the challenges that you see today.
Yeah, we, as I said, we are providing advocates in court for kids in the foster care system. And I'm happy to say that we're currently serving 100% of kids in care here in Hunterdon County, which is great. So our advocates go through a pre-service training. They're sworn in by the court as volunteers. And we match them with a child or sibling group here in the county in foster care. The advocates are appointed to them by court order, and their first order of business is to read through the case file, to meet the biological parents, meet the resource parents, meet the child, talk to the school, gather information about how that child's doing, what's going on in their life, and finding out where the gaps are, what the needs are, and then filing a report with the court at least once every 90 days or so with updates. This is what I found, this is what they need, and then make very targeted recommendations specific to that child.
Now, I know at times Hunterdon County residents would wonder how it is that when there are so many reports that we publish that say it's the safest community, that it's the healthiest community, that the GA and TANF rolls are the lowest in the state. They would wonder, how are there children from Hunterdon County that end up in the system?
And certainly, Hunterdon County statewide has the lowest number of children in foster care, which is something to be very proud of. But you still have anywhere from 50 to 100 kids generally in care. And the biggest presenting issue is usually substance abuse. Heroin, as we've all heard in the news and seen in the paper, has become a crisis of epidemic proportions here in the United States, and New Jersey and Hunterdon County in particular is no different. We have families that are struggling with these substance abuse issues that is impairing them to the point that they can't care for their children. Usually the substance abuse is to the point that they can't care for them, but it occasionally gets to a crisis level where they're doing things like pimping out their kids in order to pay for their drugs. It can run the gamut.
And that really is so disturbing. And yet it is the reality of what we have, especially with the opioid crisis. It's really disconcerting how many people have resorted to being homeless, giving up their children, losing everything, and still only worried about using.
You know, I work as a therapist in a jail down in Florida, and one of the things that I did was run a substance abuse recovery group. And one of the exercises I had, because our drug down there was meth, everybody was meth or cocaine, I had them write a letter to their drug of choice, and they were love letters. I wake up thinking about you in the morning. I go to sleep thinking about you at night. I will give anything. I will do anything to keep you in my life. And I think that we have to restructure how we think about addiction, because I think that really goes to the core of what keeps people enmeshed, is this relationship that they actually have with their drug of choice.
That's a very good point. And, you know, I don't think I've ever heard anyone give that perspective from working with people that are recovering or in addiction treatment or services. Because it is a different, when you give up everything that you've worked your life for, and you have no remorse of that, the only thing you're thinking about is how you can get high. You're not thinking about your children, protecting your children. In fact, many times you're harming your children.
Exactly. And it's so incredibly sad that it has made me wonder, what is it about our culture that is creating this vast need to escape, that there are so many people whose daily lives are so painful that they would rather be high and not present than be engaged in their daily life.
And we often look at abuse and we think about generational abuse, which many times goes along with poverty, but oftentimes it does not. And we have people who have been abused as children and then end up doing the very same thing that was done to them and harm their own children. And I know some of your work includes working with children that have been exploited or trafficking and sexual abuse.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we have been deeply engaged in the last few years, we've been working with Resilient Youth Somerset, which is an offshoot of the Children's Hope Initiative, which is a nonprofit in Somerset County that looks at the needs, unmet needs of kids in Somerset County. So one of the things that we identified as an issue was trauma, and intergenerational trauma specifically. And what are the impacts on children and their brain development that keeps them in this cycle of intergenerational abuse and neglect? So we have put together a presentation that we have been offering free of charge to anybody who wants to learn more about it. So we've been talking with law enforcement, we've been talking with schools, community groups, to kind of give them an idea of what changes are actually occurring in traumatized children's brains that make them act differently from non-traumatized children, and how can we respond in a way that doesn't hurt them further. So if anybody is interested in us coming, more than happy to. You can reach out to me directly or go to resilientyouthsomerset.org, and we'll be glad to send somebody out.
And the trauma-induced care and these the differences with the adolescent brains is really something where we're only just beginning to really look at the evidence on that spectrum and try to develop tools to work with children to mm-hmm. not further traumatize them and to engage them.
And when we don't proactively deal with it, what we end up with is traumatized children who grow up to be traumatized adults who raise more traumatized children. So if you want to break that cycle, we need to understand how we are inadvertently creating this loop and how to stop it.
And the very things that we rely on, the systems to protect our children, unfortunately are not adequate. We look at schools, we look at the judicial system, we look at the laws to protect children. Everyone is always working with less. And it seems that we're always reactive in our work instead of preventive in our care.
Could not agree more, Georgine. We have had this discussion so many times over the years with so many people about why aren't we looking at things preventatively? We throw so much money in being reactive instead of investing in prevention. And you preach into the choir.
And the opioid epidemic is a good place to look at that because there are treatment dollars, but there are no prevention dollars.
Exactly.
And our whole system is so broken. I think people who don't use the system, they don't realize how not only antiquated it is, but it is not intuitive to taking care of what the needs are.
And one of the other barriers, I think, for people has long been there are so many helping agencies, but everybody's in their own little silo, and you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know who to go to. I think one of the better innovations that we've had in recent years are the family resource centers that are now in each county. So hopefully they will be a one-stop shop. I know that we don't have a lot of interactions with them, and we probably should have more, because I would love to see them as a full hub of resource, like a local 211 of where to go.
And it is funny because years ago, I'm going to date myself. I don't care. I'm old. I'm quite old. But years ago, the one-stop center mm-hmm. was the model. And then in funding, Infinite Wisdom broke away from that and said, oh, well, we have to contract out with these different services. And what created was a very, very fragmented system that no one can really navigate today, not even those who need the systems the most. They often are the least likely to be able to navigate it. So we're going to take a look at some of the great work that CASA's doing and the work of Tracy's organization in the community and really highlight some of the other things they've been doing to support youth, and we'll be able to do that after our news break. So stay with us. You can learn a little bit about what is going on in the world today. I know I certainly haven't had the news on today, so please stay with us.
USA Radio News.
President Trump took to Twitter today to say that he has a right to pardon himself, but suggested that he won't use that power, adding that the special counsel is, quote, unconstitutional. Today at the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked if the president would, in fact, pardon himself.
Thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and wouldn't have any need for a pardon.
But does he absolutely rule out doing that? I mean, does he rule out ever issuing a pardon for himself?
Once again, thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and therefore wouldn't need one.
Preparations continue in the White House for President Trump's meeting next week in Singapore with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Defense Secretary James Mattis says you never know what's going to happen when you're dealing with North Korea.
Welcome to reality. You know, it's only on TV that it all goes and everything's fitting together. So, yeah, it's going to be bumpy. but nothing late breaking or recent, no.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
Gas prices have decreased by 2.5 cents a gallon for a national average of $2.95. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
Despite the latest slight decrease, you get a different perspective when you compare prices from a year ago. Patrick DeHaan is with Gas Buddy.
Every single day, the difference between this year and last year is about $228 million. That costs the average household anywhere from $200 to $400 more over the course of this year than what they paid last year.
This week, South Carolina has the lowest price at $2.62 a gallon, while California remains the highest at $3.76.
The man who allegedly shot and killed four people in Scottsdale, Arizona, including a high-profile psychiatrist, killed himself as SWAT teams surrounded him at a hotel. According to Rasmussen reports, President Trump's job approval for the month of May was 48%. That's down 1% from April, where it was 49%. Even with those numbers, only 20% of people think that Vice President Mike Pence would make a better president. This is USA Radio News.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Last month at a high school in New Jersey, a mother insisted and complained after her daughter got cut from cheerleading tryouts. So what'd the school do? They said there would not be cuts and everyone would make the team. Well, Bethany Mandels, a conservative commentator, she's also an editor for Ricochet, she says this is not just with kids these days.
This is across the board and it isn't just with children. I mean, we sort of joke about the participation trophy phenomenon in life, but there's also so many cases where adults are being allowed into the fire department in New York, the Marines, the Army. They're sort of lowering their standards because they're realizing that physically people can't pass the endurance tests. So instead of making them pass the endurance tests, they're just eliminating endurance tests.
Mandel also has a crazy example of what's going on in our schools.
And one of the other crazy examples was in New York City, there were teachers who couldn't pass a literacy test. You want your teachers, your kids' teachers, to be able to read, but it was too hard for the teachers to pass. So
how
now,
about telling time?
Yes, that was my favorite example, and one that I was contacted by a lot of readers. They can't tell time on an analog
clock.
More
and more kids don't know where the big hand is and little hand is.
Yeah.
So what are they doing?
And so they're replacing them with digital clocks in schools and in classrooms. And I'm planning on homeschooling my kids. And one of the first things that you teach a first grader and kindergartner is this is the big hand. This is the little hand. And we're teaching them, if this is too hard for you, we're just going to get rid of it.
Crazy stuff. And that audio courtesy of Fox and Friends. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're back in the studio. I'm with Tracy Heisler, the executive director of CASA Shoa, which, as she mentioned earlier, is two things. CASA is court-appointed special advocates. And the second part, the Shoa part, is Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren County. So Tracy's work takes us to explore a little bit more about all of the children in those three counties that need the work of CASA Shoa that are in the court system.
Right. And one of the things that I think CASA is uniquely suited to provide is the continuity of a caring adult in the child's life. Kids in New Jersey have an average of 3 different caseworkers. They'll have an average of 3 different foster homes. Sometimes schools change. Sometimes their attorneys change or their therapist changes, but CASA stays the same. So when they go from placement to placement, there is a person who's the historian for that child's case, which can bring a lot. In addition to finding out what the deficits are for that child and what are the services that they need to help them to not just survive but to thrive, and offering that continuity of service, the advocate is also a person who can help to facilitate and do research on what services that the child may need or opportunities that they have but nobody knows about. So it's really an important gift that our volunteers can give to these children, the gift of time, the gift of dedication, the gift of a one-on-one kind of relationship. It's not a mentor, because so much more of our advocates' time is spent doing research and investigating what the child needs and making recommendations. They have to be close enough to know what the child needs, but far enough away to not be another loss when the child either goes home or is adopted. But it's a really valuable and even heroic kind of volunteer experience.
And Tracy, what the one thing that you might need as a volunteer, what would you say some of those qualities would be?
Well, advocates really need to have the heart for it. This is hard stuff. And sometimes things don't always go the way that we would like to see them go. So you have to really be mission-driven in order to hang in there when things get tough. They have to have grit. They have to have some tenacity and a willingness to stay engaged in a process that moves very slowly sometimes. So for the kids that we serve, we want to make sure that they are getting the best of us. And it can be challenging to do that sometimes. Because it is such hard work, all of our advocates are assigned an experienced staff member who can help support them through those hard times, help to be the person who problem solves or that you can just gripe to when you want to complain about the system. There is a really high degree of confidentiality around the work that we do, so you can't talk about it with your friend, with your spouse, with your mom. So we offer that support network in-house so that people are never alone in doing this really tough work.
But it is very, very rewarding when you are able to become trained. And one of the things I always admire about your organization is the skills that you deliver to the volunteers, how you work one-on-one with the volunteers. They work one-on-one with the child, but you work one-on-one with the volunteers to make sure that they have the resources that they need to best serve the children. And that is, I think, such an exceptional thing to know that an organization has your back like that.
Thank you. And today I was actually working on putting together our kind of the end of the year wrap up, because our fiscal year ends June 30th, of all of the stuff that all of the partners that we've had, all of the trainings that we have done in the community, but also the training that we have offered for our volunteers and for our staff. And we are always looking to strengthen our skill set. We don't sit on our laurels of, well, I've already done that training, I don't have to do anymore. We're always looking to see what's best practice and what's new. So that we do have a highly trained, highly skilled set of volunteers. And I guess I have emphasized a lot of how hard it is, but it is also very awesome. When you one of our advocates who lives here in Hunterdon County, her name is Lisa Roll, and she is also an artist, and she does pottery. And she's been making mugs about some of the CASA kids that she served, and little vignettes of their lives and their story to show how valuable the work has been. So one of them, she had a child who had been food insecure, So when he came into care, he was not willing to throw anything away. He would hide food, you know, always making sure he had something. So at school, on Fridays, his class would take apples to throw over the fence for the deer, and from, you know, the old ones from the cafeteria from the week. And he would never throw his apple over the fence because he was going to keep that for when he got hungry. So after several months, when he finally started to trust that things were going to be different and that he was going to have a meal tomorrow, he threw the apple over the fence. And his teacher called Lisa to tell her because it was such a breakthrough. And it's that kind of incremental change, the incremental positivity that keeps us all going, of seeing a kid graduate from high school that they would never have been able to do, to see a kid get therapeutic services to heal the hole in their heart from the abuse or neglect, when a kid gets a driver's license. I mean, these rites of passage that we take for granted for our children, but not every child gets to see. Being on a ball team, you know, it's just beautiful things to see a child's life repaired after so much catastrophic damage.
Thanks for sharing that, Tracy. And we were looking at your different website and social media accounts to see what some of the changes are in the environment. And we came across one of the articles that you published about immigrant children that were lost in the system. So I know when you talk about how you equip your volunteers and how you train them, and you're always managing to hit the different topics of what they may be exposed to, I know that that is one of the areas where abuse is happening.
And it's terrifying. Many years ago, when I was in Florida, there was a case that was in the media. It was not a CASA case. It was a regular foster care case, but it resonated with me as somebody who worked with CASA. There was a child who disappeared. There was a new caseworker assigned. She went to the resource home. The foster parents said, "She's been gone for 18 months. I have no idea where she is. Somebody came to get her. They never brought her back." And the previous caseworker had falsified her record, saying that she was making these monthly visits and this child disappeared. And she's never been found. And I share that with just about every class of advocates that we train, because I don't ever want that little girl to be one of ours. And for CASA volunteers who are regularly seeing the children, who are calling the school, who are talking to the resource parent, who are talking to the therapist, finding out what this child needs, they're not going to be lost. They can't be if they've got somebody who's in their corner, who's always looking at their best interests and how to help them.
And it's not trite, and it is true. Over and over, people say one person changed their life. It was one person that stopped them from going over the edge. It was one person that made them try. It was one person that allowed them to hope.
And it's not just anecdotal. I mean, if you look at the published research on how do we best help traumatized children, the best predictor is to have at least one caring, engaged adult in their life. That's what the science says, and that's what the heart says too. And it's lovely when those two things align.
And rare. Lovely and rare. And I see also that you're able to, I think they're called lighthouse, people who have been in foster care and then have been going on to be able to volunteer because they've had that experience.
Yeah, there was something that we came across recently. There was an article about a man who had been raised in foster care. He'd been terribly abused in his own home, and he spoke to these different people in his life over the years who were lighthouses for him, who, whether it was a teacher at school, whether it was somebody in the foster care system, a caseworker or a resource parent, who helped him see the future, help him see beyond that moment. And I think our CASA volunteers are like that. They are lighthouses for these kids who are living in the dark in much of their lives.
And we don't often think about what is outside of our comfort zone, but the fact is that children are being abused, that the numbers continue to rise.
And it's heart-wrenching. And in our work at CASA, one of the things that we are focused on is community education, of helping people to understand that this does happen in our community. How can we support struggling parents? And if it has moved into an abusive situation, how do we make that phone call and call Child Protective Services? So you're actually the first person outside of CASA to hear this, but...
I feel very special, and I always feel special when you're in the room, Tracy.
Thank you. Same here. But starting in July, from July through June, we are going to be offering monthly workshops on different pieces of child welfare system and how CASA can help. So, for example, in September, we're going to be focusing on education and the fact that 68% of kids in foster care have IEPs. And every time a kid is moved, they lose 6 months of functioning. So that's 18 months of care that goes right down the tubes of kids being able to thrive in school. So when you see those kinds of numbers and you start reading about the impacts of change and trauma on kids' brains, it's not a surprise that so many of our kids struggle and that only 50% of kids in foster care graduate from high school. So one of the things that we are doing, we have developed a traveling tutor program where we have CASA volunteers with educational backgrounds who are going into the children's homes and providing those intensive tutoring services, keeping in mind what trauma does to the brain, of trying to find really innovative ways to help them get the information and keep the information. So one of our advocates was working with some brothers in Somerset County who were having a really difficult time with focusing, particularly on math. So the tutor came across the idea of using Tai Chi as a meditative, in-the-moment kind of therapeutic intervention. But for the kids, it was karate. So... he was using Tai Chi as a way to center them and help them focus and breathe while they thought, hey, we're doing something cool that is, fun and exciting, not recognizing that he was also helping them to retain the information that he was trying to teach. It was just such a great thought.
That is such a good story, and how just different people... just have the ability to connect where those kids are in that moment. Mm-hmm. Not your typical how you should teach, or it's what do the kids need, and then adopting our skill sets to them so mm-hmm. that they can learn and retain. I have to do a quick commercial break, but we'll be back. And I want to make sure that we give your contact information because you invited people to call you. So if you don't mind, mm-hmm. we could give that out before we go to commercial.
Sure.
Email, phone, what?
Oh, right now.
Sure.
I thought you meant later.
I don't want to forget, Tracy.
It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at casashaw.org. And if you would like to attend one of these monthly workshops, it'll be posted at our website at casashaw.org, C-A-S-A-S-H-A-W.org.
Excellent. And we will get the... shares on the Hot and Hunterdon page for Tracy's information. There's some things there now, and we'll continue to do that. We'll be right back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back in the studio wrapping up one of the fastest hours that we've had here at Hot 100, and I think it's because it's a topic that is of such grave concern, and of course having Tracy in the studio is, I forget sometimes we're actually on the air, so I just checked to make sure our last conversation we didn't broadcast that, so I think we're good on that. But I wanted to mention one of the initiatives that you have that's relatively new, that is on literacy and tutoring. We were just talking about, you know, the instructor who was able to connect with the kids. But you actually have a program that's going on to help with the literacy.
We do. The traveling tutors are offered free of charge. We've had some really wonderful funders who have paid for that. The tutors, we're paying them $25 an hour, which is about half the rate of a regular kind of a tutor. And they're traveling directly to the kids' houses because one of the barriers that we found was transportation. The kids can't always get to where the tutors are, and it's not always workable for the tutors to go to the school because it interrupts the regular learning day. So this has been a really great middle-of-the-road kind of solution where if you can't bring the kid to the tutor, then you take the tutor to the kid.
And not just, you talked earlier just about how the changes in the environment and the number of the percentage, almost 70% of the children who have the IEPs, it's also with the changing schools that you can very easily get behind, but also with children in poverty, less language, less words, and that starts to really show the difference for the kids to keep up. That's very difficult for them to do, usually around the third grade. So it's great that the traveling tutors are able to cover literacy and the different subjects where kids may struggle.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I love about the tutors is that they are changing the way that they teach to accommodate what the child needs. I read something recently that if you can't if you can't learn the way that I teach, then I need to change the way that I teach so that you can learn. And that's really the crux of what the tutors are doing, is they're adapting to the child instead of forcing the child to adapt to them.
And they say that if a child can feel confident in school and feel even inspired by learning what they've learned or looking, you know, back and seeing the progress, they feel that they've progressed. They they're able to take that confidence and apply it across the board to other things. And the fear of failure is really diminished.
Absolutely.
For them.
Yep. This is actually something that we were talking about recently. I grew up very poor here in New Jersey, and I'm the first person in my family to have graduated from college, and still the only person outside of my own children to have graduated from college. And my eldest daughter just started a job this week at NASA. And somebody asked me the other day and said, "Oh, do you come from a long line of scientists?" She's an engineer. I was like, "No, I come from a long line of dirt poor people." But education was the thing that moved me from being the next generation of poverty-stricken people into a different demographic of where we can really help and where we can contribute meaningfully in our communities. So the fact that my daughter, the engineer, is working at NASA is super cool, and she's going to be really embarrassed when I tell her that, because she's stopped telling people, Mother. I'm sorry. I'm very proud.
As you should be. As you should be.
But I'm a big believer in the fact that education can transform lives. And kids can't learn if they are in fear. They can't learn if their other needs are not being met. And that's where the primary advocacy work of CASA volunteers goes hand in hand with the traveling tutors to help build a secure foundation for our kids and help them to move forward in a really meaningful way instead of in a piecemeal, fractured, continually bruised and battered way.
Tracy, thank you for being with us here at Hot 100 today. We are about out of time, but we always do appreciate the work that you do on behalf of all of the children in New Jersey that you're helping to protect and the volunteers, that you're building capacity so that there are more people like you that take both the scientific and the heart approach to healing our children. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Georgine. It's always a pleasure.
Great. So that was Tracy Heisler, the executive director of CASA Shaw. And you'll see on the website also that she has an opportunity where you can donate just $10 a month to sponsor a child and support their work. So I hope you can do that or think about volunteering. She always does say it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of rewarding work. Thanks for being with us today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today during the daily White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked about the progress on things moving forward with the summit between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
I feel like things are continuing to move forward and good progress has been made, and we're continuing to prepare for the president's summit. I can tell you the president has been receiving daily briefings on North Korea from his national security team.
President Trump is still hearing it from both sides of the aisle regarding the tariffs that were put on countries such as Canada and Mexico. Representative Bill Huizinga has one thing we need to remember regarding tariffs.
You also need to know what is your target, right? And China, I think, is really the commonly accepted target, not our allies in Canada and other places. A deal is to be made there. NAFTA, for example, should be looked at.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
U.S. allies are criticizing the Trump administration over its latest round of tariffs ahead of the G7 summit. Farmers are among the hardest being hit so far. Ron Heck is a soybean farmer in Iowa. He says things are going well right now, but the Chinese could change their buying habits.
But if they would shift their purchases in during their normal purchasing time from the U.S., which is starting in September, that could be a problem for us, and that's when we might feel the price impact.
Heck was also asked if he's changing anything regarding his farming.
No, I'm not really making any changes.